Live from the Bills' famous cheese spread studios in the downstairs pub, the Blockout Sports Pod is back on the air. From behind the master control desk in the aforementioned downstairs pub, I am your host and moderator for this evening. My name is Travis Carter. Over my right shoulder at the high top table is the big fella, the tuna country, Matt Kempf. And bellied up to the bar is, well, I don't even know how to describe what Freddie looks like tonight.
Came in looking like Nick Saban, and now he looks like Michael Jordan in the flu game.
Wearing a towel over his head on top of his USA soccer jersey is the fabulous one, Freddie.
98 degrees out there, boys. It's hot, and I wore my my wicker hat here from the beach and forgot that headphones don't go around it.
Yeah. You're the one that loves summertime, man. So
I've had this towel, this sweat towel, with me all damn day.
That's when you hit a certain age, you start carrying a sweat.
Oh yeah, and you know what I figured out to do?
Certain age or certain weight.
The guys, the old ballers, yeah. They told me what to do today. They were like, roll it up and you tuck the ends into your shirt.
Yeah.
So you got it along your neck.
You ever seen Matt Rhule in
September? Kind of like a football neck pad.
Yeah.
Yeah, it works.
Yeah. Watch these coaches in training camps.
Okay. Yeah that's all true.
Andy Reid's just
Are they
like,
out there in the heat? Is he out in the heat?
Andy Reid?
I figured he'd be eating a Spam
that's
sandwich
the only
somewhere.
Time you see him in shorts. He's got his Malibu Jack Hawaiian shirts on and his shorts. And he's
okay.
out there blowing his whistle.
Okay.
Yeah, it is unseasonably hot here in Louisville. It's like close to 100 degrees. The heat index is like well over that. It's been relatively miserable all week. The weather just piling on to add to my rotten mood that
and you know, I have a truck, you know, my father's truck. After he passed, of course, I my mom didn't drive it. She has her own car, so I have had his truck for several years, and it's a nice Ford. What is it? A Ford
Sport Track.
And I've kind of
that was made over here.
Yeah, I've kind of fixed up. Anyways, no AC in the Sport Track.
Ooh.
And didn't have the wife's car today, so now, let me tell you something.
He put you a tower fan in the passenger
seat. Now, did the truck ever have air conditioner?
Yes, it was great too. You had an extra boost button, and it was like boom. Maybe I used it too much.
Yeah, the turbo boost only has so many life cycles.
Oh,
so.
Thanks for telling me.
Well, I didn't know. I mean, I was just guessing. So like,
but I guess I'll get it fixed.
You can't hit
soon.
Emergency mode
I
every
use
day.
It for work, so you know, I don't really worry. As long as it has heat, I'm good. But not today.
Speaking of heat, like. One of my favorite things that makes this like little soccer tournament worth watching is all the European fans that have come to America to watch the games.
And it's hotter now.
They're just sitting there like, what is going on in this place? Right. And watching their faces halfway makes that watchable.
Hey, yeah, because yeah. I don't think that, well, and we'll talk about it when we get to soccer, but I think at the beginning it started off slow.
Yeah.
And everyone's now gotten in town, and they have taken over.
Oh, yeah. these quarterfinal games are going to be – there'll be big crowds at
For Gold Cup, and but I think for the FIFA Club World Cup is really starting to get crazy.
Oh, yeah.
So, anyways, but, yeah, and it is hotter than Hades all over the country right now.
Yep. And with very little relief in sight, I'm afraid.
Right.
Yeah,
I bet everybody smells
July,
good.
Early August weather.
Oh, yeah,
don't
absolutely.
You think? Like, what? I remember my dad being at World Cup in Chicago in 92.
Four.
And he was like, man, he goes, the smell in the stands, you didn't want to be around it.
Oh, yeah.
He goes, I mean, that many people sweating, banging drums, like it was. He goes, it was a BO sandwich. Like, and I've really thought about not wanting to be at a World Cup game.
Yeah.
Like, I'd rather watch it, and if it was nearby, maybe go to a place. But being at the game itself, I don't know if I would want to deal with all that craziness.
I would if the United States was playing in you know, Nashville or Indianapolis or someplace like that.
They were playing Espanol or Brazil.
Especially if it was if it was like Indianapolis and they were playing inside.
True. No, you're right, Travis. Now, that's different. Yeah.
Now,
do they have inside soccer matches anywhere in the world?
They probably could have done it at Lucas Oil because they've had games like international games there before.
Dallas.
But they open the roof or whatever.
Yeah,
I think you can play inside as long as there's real grass.
There's no like Euro stadiums that you guys are aware of that has like open air.
Not that I'm
or closed, you know, closed
the
in.
Camp Nou where Barcelona plays. I've been there and I can't remember if it was open or closed. I think it was
the Google
closed.
Machine.
I think Barcelona was a closed stadium. But you know they're playing in Jerry's stadium right now, Jerry Jones.
And
so that
they've
you know.
Played, they play in like Phoenix, I think, sometimes those kind of games. But I believe the rule is just as long as you can have real grass.
Okay,
like you're not allowed to play on any sort of sport turf or artificial turf.
Oh, no, that's something
like
that I did not know.
So you have to play on real grass.
Okay,
I'm pretty sure is. Like the baseline rule, but
Gent Belgium Arena Football Gent.
They have a dome,
and well, it's retractable.
Right.
It looks like,
yeah, I think they're all,
and it does not look nice. So I don't even know. Yeah,
but we'll get into the soccer here in a little bit. What we've seen so far in these couple of tournaments, but we'll start.
Let's do it. We have to.
Rip the Band-Aid, buddy.
If we have to.
Gotta rip the Band-Aid.
A couple of things that we talked about last week on the show.
Excuse me.
One was that I thought there was a very good chance that Indiana would blow Oklahoma City out in Game 6. Just for whatever reason, I felt like that was going to be a thing. But we also talked about the fact that is it worth it to risk Tyrese Haliburton suffering a severe injury because of the fact that his strained calf, we said it right here on the show, a lot of times those strained calves lead to Achilles injuries. Now, and I had said, you know, maybe discretion would be the better part of valor because I couldn't imagine a worse scenario than getting to the final game of the season, losing, and then knowing that next season your franchise best player is not going to play. Now, with that being said, I also wanted to say that this whole playoff run to me with the Pacers is both what is wonderful about sports when you're really into them and also what is heartbreaking about sports when you're really into them. I have tried my best for the past 15, 20 years to not get as emotionally involved in these teams and these games as I used to. Unless, you know, if it's, and this will sound funny to a lot of people, but, you know, I coach like middle school basketball. Those games I get emotional about because those are my guys. Those, you know, those are games that I have some, you know, at least some bearing on the outcome. But I've done pretty good, I think, over the last 15 or so years at not really, and Indiana football notwithstanding, because they're always going to be my number one emotional get involved with those guys. But this particular Pacers team for this season, I finally was able to watch all their games on television. They started so poorly. I got to see them kind of come together and meld. And then after the All-Star break, how tremendously they came together. They were playing the best basketball. And then the playoff run, the heroics of Haliburton and Mathurin having his big games, and Nembhard, and Obi Toppin, and Siakam. And, man, I was emotionally all in on this team. And Sunday night, the game starts. And, quite frankly, I had put, after game six, and Halliburton looked fine. He played a great game. I had kind of put that out of my mind. And I'm watching the game on my deck. And I typically, what I've been doing the first quarter, I would not turn the sound on. I just have it on. And I'm watching it, but I'm not watching it. I just want to see how the flow of the game's going. And then in the second quarter, I've been syncing up Mark Boyle and Eddie Gill on Pacers Radio Network, who are fantastic, by the way. I've been syncing that up and listening to them call the rest of the game. So I hadn't even turned the sound on the game yet. Halliburton hits three threes, and I texted my buddies that I go the 500 with, that's the start we needed from Halliburton. No more had I sent that text. I look up, and Halliburton, I saw him fall. The ball goes away from him. Again, I have no sound on the TV. And I saw him pound the court. And my first thought was, it's a little early to be that upset about giving up a dunk on the other end. And it was a literal fraction of a second. The enormity of what just happened hit me. I stood up. My neighbor, next door neighbor, had just walked out of his back door and was walking towards the fence, and I let maybe the loudest F-bomb of my life go. I grabbed the chair that I was sitting in and slammed it against the patio table, and he just looked at me, and I mean, he must have seen the look on my face. Was I can't imagine what I looked like. And he just turned around, walked back in without saying a word.
Like that little meme of that girl running down the hallway, the little toddler. Yeah. She just opens her mouth wide and turns around and goes the other way.
And, you know, it was just, it all hit me at once. I immediately, I know I'm on a bunch of different text threads. Freddie was on one, a couple of them. Tuna was on with our group thread. And I just said, I'm turning it off. I'm too depressed to watch. I didn't, at that point, I honestly didn't care if they won. I really didn't. I mean, to me, there was no way. I thought, well, you're going to maybe ride the emotion of this till halftime, and then it's going to set in. And then your guy that stirs the drink, the guy you're going to lean on in the fourth quarter of the biggest game in franchise history is unavailable to play, and he's unavailable to play for, if not all season next year, most of the season next year. That's going to hit you. It's going to be too much to overcome, and I didn't want to watch it. I didn't want to see the highlight of it. I'll tell you what, it now reaches, there's just a few games, and I was going to ask you guys this. Are there a game or two that when a highlight of that comes on, you immediately turn the channel, you can't watch it? Even it could be something that happened 20 years ago.
Yeah, it'd be Christian Laettner.
Yeah, this one's...
every time they showed him.
This one doesn't affect me, but I could see where it affects San Francisco 49er fans because I was on the opposite end. It was in the Super Bowl when Dre Greenlaw ruptured his Achilles.
Yeah.
He was the most dominant player on the field that day on defense.
That's right.
And he completely ruptured his Achilles and went out. And I know that those San Francisco fans felt the exact same way that you felt. And I don't think there was any reports leading up to that of calf tightness or whatever that would, you know, signify that. And that, I feel like this is a new thing, Achilles ruptures. It's something that What is it? Why are guys doing this now?
You know, I heard somebody...
I mean, look at Dame Lillard, Jason Tatum and Halliburton all this year.
Yeah, and it happened to Kevin Durant
a few years ago. And when Bama played Georgia in the national championship in Indianapolis, I was there. We were playing great. First quarter, touchdown. We're up 7. Another touchdown throw, bomb 2 for the Lions.
Cornerback?
No, wide receiver.
Jameson Williams.
Jameson Williamson. I think he ruptured his Achilles.
That was
either did that or blew his knee.
I think
knee
it was
out.
The ACL with him. But
maybe it was ACL, but it happened. He had the catch. He had the touchdown going up 14-0. We end up getting slaughtered. Mm-hmm. But it's almost like, but your team, I don't know what happened to the 49ers, but the Pacers sure played freaking their nuts off for the first two quarters.
Well,
God.
And that's what I thought might happen. Like, you rally around your guy. You play with emotion. But it's too much to ask.
When it happens in the game.
Yeah.
The final game. There's not that many that's happened in the final game of the year in any sport. And obviously a game 7, national championship, Super Bowl. It's horrible.
And just the emotional like attachment that this state of Indiana, the city of Indianapolis, had formed with this team and with Halliburton in particular, it just seemed especially cruel.
Oh yeah,
for it to come down and to end that way, and then, like I had said last week on the podcast, I couldn't even have the feeling of, man, what a great run. We can do this again next year. That's even taken away now because, you know, they're going to have to completely change the way they play. They're going to have to.
I'll tell you what.
Look at what the Celtics have done. They've completely blown their roster up because they know that next year there's no sense in paying these guys.
But having McConnell and those guys. I do think that, as it was said at halftime, that Pacers have the two best backup point guards in the league.
Yeah, but they're the two best backup point guards. And to have to lean on them, I mean, it's really going to be a scotch tape type of season next year.
It's like saying you got the prettiest girl at the cow tipping contest.
I mean, I love that McConnell. I'll tell you what.
Well, I mean, he scored every point for Indiana in the third quarter.
I know.
Yeah. And
he's never.
You don't want to go into a season being like, we got to rely on TJ McConnell.
But he's never been asked to raise his game either. So maybe he's capable of being a Steve Nash.
He's perfect. He's perfect in the role that the Pacers asked him to play.
I mean, you never knew Jeremy Lin's sanity was going to happen until you strung him loose.
TJ McConnell is such a defensive liability. And I know he makes steals and stuff, but I'm talking about for a 48-minute game for him to have to guard the other team's point guard.
So and the minute watch, they start game planning for TJ McConnell, that's when all hell breaks.
Did you watch the end of the game?
No.
The very end.
No.
Well, it was pretty cool. I thought, I do think that the Thunder, I thought that they were very good, showed very good sportsmanship, SGA, and then they were all getting ready to go crazy, and he was like, grabbed everybody, and they went right over to all the Indiana guys, which I thought was really cool.
Yeah, and dude.
And then the worst of it was I even shed a little tear for the Pacers because the Pacers are one of those organizations that, you know, they showed them all going back to their locker room. And, you know, even the last ones, like McConnell was one of the last ones to go back, whatever, and Halliburton's just standing there.
Yep.
With his crutches, by himself, waiting to greet every player coming in. And, you know, and a whole lot of other people from the organization as they walk through, which I thought was really cool and shows a lot about Indiana and the organization that they are. I've seen Lakers lose to the Warriors and Warriors lose to the Lakers and people just standing around in the locker room, you know, people throwing chairs or whatever. But it was really cool. It was like, we're here till the end. Let's roll. It was pretty neat.
But this was just such a different, like, I get it. Like, even from an Oklahoma City standpoint, I mean, their fans, I'm sure, are tickled that they won the championship.
Didn't look like it at the parade.
But it would be, like, to a certain extent, if I was an Oklahoma City fan, I mean, for instance, if that exact thing would have happened to Gilgeous-Alexander, and the Pacers won Game 7 because he blew his knee out, say, I mean, I would feel like, kind of like, man, yeah, we won a championship, but we got cheated out of winning,
right.
Like, really winning it.
Right, and I didn't get to hear, I'm sure they were asked that question, some of those Thunder players, and I'm sure that they were pretty honest about that. I would like to hear what they had to say about him going out early in the game.
And I heard, and you know what the big, like, national narrative it was in the immediate aftermath was, well, this playoffs will now be remembered for the Pacers more than it will be remembered for Oklahoma City. I don't necessarily agree with that. I think there will always be a question mark next to, not an asterisk, because I've heard some people say that. I think there'll be a question mark next to the 2025 NBA Finals.
Well,
because you just don't know.
Now, injuries happen in these games, like in baseball and in NBA and in hockey, where teams play series. This just happened in Game 7.
Right.
So it's highlighted. Okay, if this would have happened in Game 1 and you guys lose in 5 games, nothing else would have been about an asterisk, right?
Well,
nothing else has been brought up about asterisks in other sports. It's like, I think the fact that this happened in Game 7.
I'm sure that did make a, yes, that does make a difference. Now, to me, if it happened in Game 1,
yeah,
I would still say, well, I don't think that you can necessarily say that the best team won the finals, yeah, or whatever. But again,
if the A's won the World Series in 88, we wouldn't have been like, well, Kirk Gibson didn't even play in it, so it didn't matter. You know what I mean? It's an asterisk for Oakland. Like, I don't know.
Well, yeah, but I also, don't you think that that's a little bit different when you have in basketball, especially a point guard, especially the guy that makes your team go? I mean, rather than a guy that bats 4 times a game or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's just a little different in basketball. But, again, I also think that, from an emotional standpoint, I'm so emotionally involved in it that anything that I say should be taken with a tremendous grain of salt, because I still can't quite wrap my head around the fact that the season ended the way that it did and that we have this uncertainty going in to next season. But
we just need to get all players wearing Chucks again. I think that's the way to handle this. Nobody tore their or ruptured their Achilles back in the 40s.
Well, and I heard
they never played again.
I heard somebody talk about, they were just throwing out, they asked that exact question, you know, seems like we've seen a lot of this lately. And somebody, I think it was on Dan Patrick's show, I think it was one of his guys, one of the Danettes, just throwing it out there, said, could there be a correlation between, and because Halliburton is the king of this move, of the move up, step back, three-pointer. You know, Halliburton, yeah, goes full speed forwards, stops on a dime, takes that, like, hop backwards,
step back, yeah,
and then shoots. He's like, that's not a move that we saw 15 years ago.
We see that in the college game a lot now. It's all over basketball, yeah, everywhere now.
It's at our level
the,
now.
The step back three,
yes,
is like, yeah.
It's at our, like, I have to tell my players, like, okay, Steph Curry can do that. You're 14 years old, yeah, and you can't really, yeah, do that yet, but they try it. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a big move now. Like, and I just thought that was an interesting thought, because it is something that we never really saw. And Halliburton does that 5 times a game, at least.
I'm going to ask AI why more players are rupturing in their Achilles now and get this answer. But I don't understand. It is. It's something, because it used to be career ending. Like a lot of it, yeah. Back in the day, it was like, well, you may never walk right again.
And the other thing, and I don't know if this has anything to do with it or not, but basketball players hardly ever wear high tops anymore.
Oh, really?
They hardly ever wear high tops.
I love the shoes that have the little piece that goes around your Achilles. Mm-hmm. It's like a little padded piece that comes up that's inside the very back of your shoe.
Doesn't seem to be working.
Feels great. I think more players need those.
Like when
I think Nike makes them like that.
When I go to basketball practice, I still wear high top sneakers. And none of my players wear high tops anymore.
Right.
Yeah, no. I think I'm going to answer. Well, this is what AI, they gave me, I said he. I don't know if AI is a guy or what. Yeah, I don't know. I'll ask him next, or I'll ask it next. One is increased athletic demands and explosive play styles. Modern sports emphasize explosive movements more so than it used to. Used to just be like, you know, jogging to spots and mm-hmm. so on, where now it is basically all out explosion. Fatigue and overuse, not going to buy into that.
No.
I think that was a bigger issue back then. Inactivity and deconditioning, I disagree with that.
No.
This shows that AI is a fool and you will never take over the world. Footwear and surface changes. Modern low-cut athletic shoes designed for style and mobility offer less ankle support than mid or high top shoes, increasing strength.
And see, I think that I think that's a legit question to ask. Like,
and bigger, stronger athletes is another one, which actually makes a lot of sense.
Yep.
I really believe high top shoes has a lot to do with it.
AI agrees.
I mean, I don't understand what's so bad about wearing a high top shoe.
Because they're not cool, man.
Oh, well,
they're not cool.
I mean, the mid cut is cool and still has that little piece for your Achilles.
But kids don't think high tops are cool. Trust me.
Really?
No.
I don't know.
Trust me.
Yeah.
I
just went to the mall and saw a bunch of Nikes up there, and some of they're all mid. They're not high top. You know what I mean? They're mid.
And
so, like, Jordans, I would always call those high tops, but I guess they're mids. You guys are talking the old school high tops, right?
Right.
Well, I mean, can't you just tape an ankle, like, tighter than you can tie that
I think
up?
They do tape their ankles.
Oh, they certainly do, but I do think that having a real tight, because if you remember, like, when I played basketball, like, not only did we tape our ankles and stuff, and we wore high tops, but we would tie the string around, mm-hmm. like super tight around the top part of the high top.
You know, it's funny. We're having this conversation. I listened to an interview with Pat Kelsey the other day, and he was talking about in practice. He said if a player's shoe comes off, he has been known, this is what he does. He sprints to the shoe and throws it as high up in the stands as he can get it. Because he's like, tie your freaking shoes.
Yeah.
He has no tolerance for shoes coming off.
Yeah, and
then he told the story about when he was coaching down at Charleston and he sprinted in the middle of a drill and his shoe came off and it was a mad dash. All the players were diving on it.
Yeah, so. And because that's another thing, dude. I mean, it's funny that he says that at the college level.
Yeah.
Because it is a constant battle for us. The kids not only don't wear high tops, they don't want to tie their freaking shoes
just
all the way.
Just tape the shoe onto the kid at that point.
And
hell,
just,
football cleats, we taped them onto our feet. You know what I mean?
Just, yeah, and it's like a fashion thing, and it's cool to, I don't know. But that's a whole side tangent we got on there.
Well, it's summer radio. What else are you going to
get
off on?
I know. At the end of the day, it was a hell of a run by the Pacers. I feel very fortunate to have experienced it. Part of me wishes I wouldn't have gotten so emotionally involved because it's been a long, long, long time since the result of a sporting event actually affected my mood. Like, I couldn't remember the last time that happened. And it took me 24 hours, really, before I felt like engaging in normal human
I'm sympathetic.
Experience.
I know this is a hard comparison to make, but before 2020, where the Dodgers went on that gap in the World Series, they were always good teams. Those playoffs, every year we were in the playoffs and lost out, it was like, because you invest yourself, and NBA's like this. There's so many regular season games.
Yeah.
And you invest yourself so much into that season. Same thing with baseball. It's 162. And then when it's over, you feel like you just got kicked in the face.
Yeah.
And then you find out that the Houston Astros were cheating.
Yeah,
and then
right.
It's even worse.
That's why you get paid millions of dollars.
I don't.
No.
They should pay me as a fan millions of dollars for what I've given up to them.
Yeah, I would have taken... I would
have
taken a couple of hundred bucks just for my emotional distress of Sunday night into Monday evening. But
it's a little easier after you get over that initial hump.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then you're good.
And, you know, like I said, it's what makes sports great, but it's also what can break your heart about sports. And we saw the full gamut over the however many 2.5 months or however long the – NBA playoffs last. It was a hell of a ride, and one that I very much enjoyed taking, but sure do wish that it would have worked out a little bit different on Sunday night.
Yeah.
And, you know, congratulations. And again, Oklahoma City, had they been literally playing any other team in the NBA,
I love that team. I love both teams. I would have been the whole finals.
Cheering for them.
Yeah.
I really would have.
Dude.
I think they got
a bunch of good guys
on that team.
Yeah.
I
really was happy for them. I hated how it happened. I hate who they beat. But it was refreshing to have both those teams in the finals.
Now,
can you guys answer a question for me?
But
what makes a team small market?
Just how big your television market is.
That's all it is.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just sick of hearing about small market teams, how they're at a disadvantage. Like, the NBA has made it a point to put teams in cities where there's no other sports. You know, you go Sacramento, Orlando, Memphis, San Antonio, so on. Nobody called San Antonio a small market team when they were on their big run.
Right.
You know, I would think that that's a small market. I don't know what their television ratings are,
back
the TV
then.
Market.
Some people
did.
Like,
they?
Chicago's not considered one. It's just like Philly, Chicago, New York,
LA.
Just the big cities. That's Texas or San Antonio, Dallas. But they still consider Dallas somewhat of a small market team.
That's absurd. I mean, Houston has to be a large market. But it's like the third largest city
right,
in the world.
You're right, dude. That gets on my nerves, too. But, like,
I'm just sick of hearing
Yankees,
teams like
Mets,
say, like, oh, small market this and small market
Yankees,
that.
Yankees, Mets, Dodgers.
Baseball
is
the one thing I could see having a small market would hurt. But, like, because there's no real salary cap or whatever. But I don't know.
Well, I mean, and really from the NBA standpoint, it was more like all the national talking heads going, oh, it sucks with two small market teams because they're not going to get the TV ratings or whatever, which I said ad nauseum on this program. Mm. Who gives a damn?
Yeah,
I don't work for the TV network. I don't care how many people watch the game.
I have never once watched a sporting event and been like, man, I hope all of America's watching this right now.
I know. Like, who
dude,
cares?
I watch the shit out of, like, obscure sports, which, by the way, the first half of that Pacers game when he actually got hurt, I was watching the World Championship of Pillow Fighting, which is a real thing.
I would have rather been watching that.
It was pretty cool, dude.
Tuna. I certainly wish I would have been doing that.
What are you
cheersing
for, Fred?
Well, the Reds are hot. I was just showing you my cup.
I found out today that the Reds are paying over $60 million for players not to play for them this year.
I just saw.
Talk about a small market.
I just saw one of the Cincinnati radio guys. He had listed all the play. He was like, this is. What did he say? This is chasing bad money with bad money.
Yeah.
And he was right.
That was like me gambling in Vegas, man.
But
I love that Ken Griffey Jr. is still on the payroll.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah.
Yeah.
Kids are like, who's that?
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, that'll put a capper on the NBA season and on the Pacers, and hopefully don't ever have to talk about that again.
Yeah. But
I'm glad I had the outlet. I am glad I had the outlet to vent that out a little bit, because this was a good therapy session for me, boys.
And now we have, well, I don't know what, 66 games in the baseball season and soccer. All soccer, Tuna.
Yeah, well, we can sit back and watch the work that Big Dumper is doing out there in Seattle. Because, I mean, what's he at, 34 home runs right now?
Yeah.
Yeah. This is a guy that I didn't even really know about. His name going into the sea. If you would have asked me who the catcher for the Seattle Mariners was,
no,
I'd be like,
but
I have
Seattle
no idea.
Is, yeah, they're good.
Well, they're a small market team.
Yeah, they are a small market team.
Yeah, so, yeah.
But, yeah, Mariners or Tigers are playing good. Mariners are playing good. Philly's picking it up.
Philly is always a team I look at and I'm like, that team scares the shit out of me.
Yeah, well, like, they're always good. They're yeah. like Arizona. They're always... You know,
even,
I think the Diamondbacks are always pretty
they've
good.
They've been
the
young
Philly
and feisty recently.
Good.
Philly is going to do whatever it takes to be good. But,
yeah,
I don't know. I still don't think, like, he's kind of, a lot of people are putting money on him to win the MVP in the American League. And I don't see a catcher winning MVP, for one.
Nah.
I think he's going to wear off the wear and tear on his body.
Wait till he's in the home run derby
to win an MVP.
I have no. Was it Sandy Alomar?
It wasn't Pudge Rodriguez. I don't think Sandy Alomar
ever. I don't
ever
think
won
so.
It.
Pudge. I don't think ever won one.
Posey ever won?
I don't think Buster.
Posey could Let's, have.
Again,
that would be.
Thank
my
God for
guess.
The internet tonight, guys.
Buster Posey would be my guess, and if not that, Gary Carter would be the last one that I would guess on.
Was Mike Piazza?
Or wait a minute. Oh. Molina. It could be Molina for St. Louis. Who'd you say, Tuna?
Mike Piazza.
Could be Piazza.
I know he was Rookie of the Year. I don't know if he ever got.
Throw that last.
Buster Posey, 2012.
Buster Posey. Hey, yeah, he had a couple great seasons, man. Who was before him?
Roy Campanella.
Roy Campanella.
No. This is the ones with the most. All right.
Johnny Bench has
two. Yogi Berra has three. And Roy Campanella has three.
But okay. No Gary Carter in there. No.
Let me see. Joe Mauer got
no
one.
No Johnny Bench.
Joe Mauer.
Joe Mauer for the Twins.
Pudge did get one.
Pudge got one.
Thurman Munson.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
I knew Munson did.
And then Michael Lombardi. I don't
know who that is.
Yeah,
an MVP?
That's what it says.
What?
Yeah, okay. This was way back in the
I
day.
Think he
I think.
Played for the Twins, too.
I thought he coached the Green Bay Packers.
No, well, that's Vince. That's his brother.
Oh, my bad. Well,
I thought he was
Vince
a jobber
was...
Mike
in the
Lombardi
WWF.
Is a new player. Is a player from the 90s or 2000s.
Ernie Lombardi, who played for
oh,
the...
Oh, Ernie. Oh, no.
The
that's
Cincinnati
different.
Reds.
That's way old.
He was a Red
way old.
In 1908.
Yeah, way old.
Well, he was born in 1908.
I thought you said Mike Lombardi.
Ernie. Well, I was making that
I
up because I
didn't
great
know his grandson. Well, there's a couple Lombardis that's played in the league, in the 2000s. All right, let's get soccer out of here. Let's
yep,
go. Come
yep.
on,
kick Fred. Ball.
All right,
kick
Fred.
Ball. Kick
Fred,
ball.
Last time that we talked, you kind of went from when you're at the beach. Having basically a full USA meltdown.
I was.
Ready to disband the program. And I think a lot of people were feeling that way.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Now they're in the Gold Cup. Now, let me ask you this. I mean, it's not like they've played.
They haven't played anybody.
Brazil, Argentina.
No, they
and,
haven't played anybody.
You know, but.
They've
but,
played nobody.
But they've won.
They have won. They have,
and
right.
they now are.
They
in the,
still couldn't beat Bulgaria, in my opinion, or Paraguay.
They're in the quarterfinals of this Gold Cup tournament.
I was thinking, spectacular.
Well, thank you. I was thinking of it last night. I was watching, rewatching them versus Haiti, and I was like, watching the missed opportunities from all the strikers. Forget the defense and that the goalie literally kicked the ball 5 feet to a striker to score on him like a total moron.
Yeah, that wasn't good.
Like a 5 year old, literally. But to go back and add that into the strikers that just miss so many opportunities, that never take shots, that, dude, when I watch soccer everywhere, nobody shoots the ball enough. Like, dude, take a dribble and shoot it, and you would be surprised how many deflections. Goalies don't catch the ball anymore. They knock it down. You wouldn't believe how many deflection goals there would be. People don't shoot the ball hard on goal anymore. They just, I don't know if it's the tiki-taka has to be pretty thing, and it's filtered into teams that suck. And now they feel like they have to do it. But I just don't understand when you are literally inside that box that there are not more greediness. And I mean greedy. Take over. You don't have to pass the goddamn ball. Do you not have any balls to shoot? Shoot the freaking ball. Like, I almost feel like that they're afraid to fail and it's not a good-looking shot. It's so stupid. It's really gotten ridiculous to this point. Put the ball in the freaking net. If you can do it, you will win. That's it. And the USA, dude, they couldn't beat Paraguay right now. I can name 40 teams that the USA cannot beat.
Well, but
okay, but
to be fair,
they are. But they do. The coach has gotten this team together. They have,
and to be
started
fair,
from this, rock bottom.
This is the American team as it is currently constituted, but this isn't the American team.
True.
This is like,
right. There's about this four is like more that will come
the,
in and
the,
start.
The C plus team.
That there's four more. Pulisic, who I think is overrated. Pulisic will be there, and he's thought of as our best player. And then you've got Antoine Robinson and Reina and some of them that will come in and come in and fit in. The best player, in my opinion, is the little Pudge. You love little Pudge, don't you?
I haven't watched one match.
Oh, you haven't watched him? Little Pudge.
I watched, I bet on a game.
Durst.
The Inter-Miami to upset the team that they played.
Right.
And they won. They were like a plus 30.
But I'm not, I just wanted to be realistic. I'm not raining on the USA's parade, but they're just not good. They are beating teams that aren't good. None of these teams in this tournament are good except for Mexico. Canada is doing a lot better than they were.
Didn't Mexico just draw somebody the other
night? But when you put teams like Argentina and Italy and or even Italy, or put teams like Brazil and all these up against these teams, give me a break. Like, be real. For real. Wake up time. But what I'm getting at is Pochettino had no other choice but hit rock bottom, get the team together, start with a group, a core group that he liked, and get them going. And you know what? He did that. He has done it. They are winning. You can't get out of the hole until you start winning.
That's right.
Winning makes everything better. Then you start getting a flow, and then you kind of start getting a little cocky and confident from that. I think when they get to Canada, there's no reason. The USA is playing Costa Rica Sunday. Their best player, who's in the top three to get the golden boot of most goals scored, was an idiot and got a yellow card twice, and he's out. So Costa Rica's best player is not playing. Costa Rica is not good. I don't care what anybody says.
I'm
going to
put an
good.
Asterisk by this one.
They're not good. And the USA should win 2-0 or better. Okay? Canada.
Costa Rica should have won the whole thing.
Has a tricky little Guatemala team. I think Canada will win that. What do you all think? Have you all, Travis, have you watched Canada?
Yeah, I think.
Since Tuna hasn't. Well,
I think Canada is a. For this tournament is a fine team, and I think can give the United States everything that they want.
Oh, they
now,
can.
I have questions on this because
we're at quarterfinals now, Tuna. So
okay, we're all these players aren't playing for the U.S. Does Canada, Mexico, these
yes,
other teams,
some of them are not
are
playing.
Sitting out. So how
right.
can we judge how good Canada is?
Well,
I mean, it's
can.
Like watching minor
you
league
can
baseball,
until
right?
The World Cup, but you judge what you're watching.
Yeah,
you judge. What
I'm
you're
speaking
watching.
Just simply from
what I've seen
from this
Canada.
From this tournament. Like, I wouldn't know
right.
if this was Canada's
well,
best players or not.
Are they,
I only,
are they automatically
a couple,
in?
A couple
as
of
well?
Their best players are not
in the World
playing.
Cup.
They
yeah,
are hurt.
I believe so. Yes.
Okay. Yeah, Canada.
So them and Mexico and the U.S. are automatic entries. All three of them.
I'm almost positive.
Those three
are
I don't think Panama is.
Well,
but Mexico,
think so.
Canada, U.S.
They're the ones hosting the games, right?
Yes.
So, like, I thought that was – that's how Qatar got in.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. But Panama is a decent team. They always
sure.
pull upsets. They also, I think it's going to be Panama, Mexico, Canada, USA. And then I don't really know what it's going to be. I personally think that Canada is going to beat the United States, and I personally think that Mexico is going to beat Panama. And I actually have Canada winning this Gold Cup, not Mexico.
Well, selfishly, I hope
and
it ends up being.
I would
being,
love that I'm totally wrong about that. I'm not hating on the USA. I'm just being real.
Selfishly, I hope it ends up being the United States and Mexico because.
So do I.
Somebody told me there was a
documentary
movie or something
about that.
About
this
heard
rivalry
of it.
That's unbelievable.
I don't know. I'm not a soccer guy. I would never watch
dude,
something like
yes,
that.
Yes, I would love to, but just the missed opportunities by the USA team, and then they. But what irritates me is they score and they're up like 2-0, and all these fans are like, oh, they're freaking great, they scored it. But they, like, I'm a realist, dude. I see all the misses and all the shots that they don't even take, that they can't even take. They can't one touch. A ball in.
That was the first thing that I told you when you made me sit down and actually watch a soccer match for the first time in my life.
Right.
And I was
letting
you go through.
They're not world class.
And I said, none of these guys are taking shots at the goal, and the point is to get the ball in the net, correct?
Yeah, and you have to be skilled enough to one-touch the ball into the net.
I'm with you.
With two different players.
Everybody's looking to make the extra pass, and it's the
most
frustrating thing ever.
And part of it is, I'm starting to find out, is they're scared to goddamn shoot.
I mean, you see
a little... They're scared of failure. I swear to God, that's what it is.
I'm fine with that. I don't care.
I mean,
what they
dude,
do.
I'm going to start. You know what I'm going to do from here on out? The Haiti. I'm starting to count every time that they had an opportunity and made a stupid back pass, or they did not get the ball off. They missed the goal, and I'm going to count it.
Okay,
count how many times it happened.
I'm sure those stats are probably already out there, but if not, you should record them yourself.
Yes.
But I'm telling you exactly what we're doing. This is the oop-de-oop.
What's the oop-de-oop?
This the oop-de-oop is when we're showing one thing to the world, and that's the oop. And then when the World Cup starts, then we go with the other oop. Then we de-whoop the whoop-de-whoop.
I'm into the whoop-de-whoop.
So. We're putting one thing out there, one product. Everybody's like, look at the USA. They don't ever shoot the goal. They suck. They're scared. They're whatever.
Well, I'm not saying they
and
suck.
Then,
they just.
Well, you say, I pretty much think that you said they sucked.
I'm talking
and
about
then,
against the best
we can't
in the
beat
world,
Paraguay, then we
they're
suck.
Not close.
We do not look at Paraguay as a measuring stick.
Right.
I mean, this is the USA.
I mean, do you think USA can beat Croatia right now?
No.
Not a chance.
Croatia doesn't do anything until the World Cup starts.
Chile.
Croatia is the king of the oop-de-oop. Right. They don't do anything in the Euro Cup, none of that.
Right. Colombia, and then what happens in the World Cup?
They make it to the finals every year.
Right.
I'm just saying, U.S. is taking a page out of the Croatian playbook.
Right. And I love when Alexi Lalas numbers his top 10 players in the tournament, and they're all like, they're like out of the top 50 at best if they're playing in the World Cup when you do your top 10. I mean, give me a break. It's patting players on the back that don't deserve it. Let them play, let them try to win, and then see what happens.
Well, I certainly don't think any of the major American soccer media has been patting anybody on the back.
No, they haven't. They haven't. But when you're beating teams like Trinidad and Tobago and Haiti, and now you got Costa Rica with their best player, who isn't that great anyways, out. Come on. But and it's hard to take the tournament seriously, but it is the Gold Cup, and I would love to – I can't wait to whoop Panama's ass or Canada or Mexico for sure. So you have to play in it. It's there. Let's do it. And I'm not saying that I'm not pulling for the USA in my jersey every time they come on, because I am.
This is preseason football,
but
man.
But I'm being real.
You don't show anything in those first four preseason games.
But
when the regular season starts,
what I want to get to real quick is, what about the club? FIFA Club World Cup. Have you watched any of that?
I've watched about as much of that as I've watched of the World Championship pillow
fighting.
Have
you seen Flamingo?
Which is actually a lot.
Have you seen I've seen some of the weird teams.
That's what I was saying about watching the Europeans over in the stands just like freaking out by the sun.
Right.
Like usually you watch them in Europe and they're all like celebrating and singing the whole match and they're all just sitting there looking like you with towels over their heads.
Their fans are wild.
Yeah.
And they have come in here and look, I mean, UC Miami is playing well.
Inter Miami.
Chelsea got spanked out. Mm-hmm. Atletico Madrid got spanked out. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Seattle.
Atletico
gone.
Is who they beat, right?
Atletico, yeah, from La Liga. But yeah, so there has been some badass upsets.
Dortmund's still in it?
I'm looking because, I can't keep up with all this 100 times a day.
And you expect me to?
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. I want to know who your new team is right now.
It's Dortmund. Borussia Dortmund.
Can someone pull that up for me?
I'm looking at it right now.
Let's look at the bracket.
My computer don't work for soccer. Yeah. It's weird. It just won't take it.
And this is what we do with soccer. We don't know everything.
Dortmund beat Ulsan today. 1-0.
Aha.
Who do they play for?
I've never heard of almost any of these.
That's
teams,
the thing
so.
About
well,
watching this.
Yeah, like, yeah. The, well, they're the. They are teams in the. These are
I know
teams
they're club
that
teams throughout
their
the world.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah.
Is anybody
and it's a new
Chelsea's
thing and it's going
League
well.
And
I think
we got
it's
the
going
La Liga
well.
And then Bundesliga.
It's a second year of it, and I think it's getting better. I really do. I think it's improving every game. More people are finding out about it. I did do some research on why a lot of people don't know that it's even going on as of today when there's no sports on TV but baseball. That they did not do a large campaign on advertising. They didn't. Mm-hmm. That hurts. I know that the final, the hockey and the basketball went to 7 games and 6 games. They acted like that kind of hurt it a little bit at the same time of them starting. But they didn't really do a lot of advertising for it. And it shows that they probably needed to do that. There's also the World Cup thing. Like, there's no history. There is history of the Gold Cup. I'm not sure how many people care.
Well, if you live in Germany, are you going to want to take your American trip to watch the Club League
thing? You're not.
Or are you going to wait a year and go for the actual World Cup?
Right, right.
So,
but I'm just saying that there were a lot of factors that have went into the stands not being totally packed at the beginning. And I think what Travis has said is that teams are really starting to show up, mm-hmm. show out. You know, another thing is some of those games were in like Dallas Stadium or in Atlanta or wherever, where there's like, you know, you've got 20,000 in there and it looks like you've got 100,000.
Right.
I mean, so they didn't really, but they wanted it to go that way. They did it on purpose from what I've read.
Easiest thing to do there is block off the top sections.
But lot of these people are showing up. So Fluminense and Malalodi.
Yeah, are you going
to
show up?
I'm not trying
to
act like I know who the hell any of those teams are.
Well, that's the thing.
But
Fred,
we know River Plate is crazy.
Yeah.
And they're getting ready to play Inter.
I think the biggest reason why a lot of people in the United States, not to upset the real soccer, super soccer fans.
Yeah, there's 8 or 9 of them.
But your average person, and like I like watching the Gold Cup because I like watching team, you know, the national teams or whatever like that. There obviously are several teams that I've heard of in this FIFA Club World Cup. 70% of them, I have no idea who they are, where they're from.
Right.
If you're not in the Premier League, La Liga, or Bundesliga, I don't know you.
And we're not trying to, by any means. Like, we're just talking soccer. Like, we could blow this whole club world cup off.
I'm just saying, that's part of an explanation on why they're not filling up. Americans know those three leagues because they're on television.
Right.
We don't get to see whatever happens in South America or, you know what I mean?
Right, and a lot of these teams like Real Madrid that won over Pachuca 3-1, yeah, they didn't even play half of their starters, you know what I mean? And they've got starters coming off the bench as subs against Pachuca. And that's part of it. We're not going to pretend here to act like that we know all these teams.
I think you're answering your question
within
yourself.
I am answering, but I'm trying to read about it. I can't keep up where the hell they... I guess they're in the round of 16 now.
When
Palmeiras versus Botafogo is going to be a legit game, Tuna. That is going to be a rowdy match you need to watch. I'm telling you. Flamengo versus Bayern Munich is going to be a crazy match.
I don't
know
anything about Flamengo, but if their fans are nuts, Bayern Munich is a big-time thing. So I'd
River Plate and Inter is going to be a crazy game because you want those crowds –
I'm not sure we need to spend much more time on the Club World Cup.
We will offend so many people just by the mispronouncing of these teams.
I don't care.
Yeah.
I really don't. I really don't care. Yeah. You know, a Boca Juniors. Like, that's my team. I'm pulling for the Bocas.
Sounds like a Florida retirement.
I don't know where the seniors are, but I'm pulling for the juniors. Your rah-rah Reds. Like, it sounds like a shrimp that you can eat.
Let's rah-rah talk about the Stephen Foster.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyways, I am going to try to keep an eye on those. They're on TBS and TNT and True TV.
I think start from this point forward, they're going to be on regular television. That was another piece of it.
Yeah.
The first several games was on that.
DAZN.
They were on after Sanford and Son on True TV.
So
I might have caught some.
Now
that
you
was
can,
a case.
Now you can find them on television. And as
what are y'all talking about? Real TV, like regular TV, like ABC, CBS,
like to where you can turn your television on and watch it.
Okay.
Yeah, like regular TV.
I've been watching the games. They're on TNT.
Not all of them.
No, they are now.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
The first. Like 20 games were not on television. They were on that
app. I would
randomly
bet on some of these teams just to try to watch it and get in, and I couldn't find them. So I'm like,
well, guys.
And I've got every channel.
We love soccer, and we are trying to keep up with it. The Gold Cup's easy to keep up because all the teams suck. So how you like them apples?
You've really sold that, Fred.
Yeah, well, it is what it is.
Why aren't people showing up?
I mean,
as Freddie says, they suck.
It is. Well, they're mediocre at best, all those teams. Okay, we got the Stephen Foster handicap tuna.
I know.
That is going on Saturday at
it's a night
Churchill.
Race, isn't it?
I didn't bring any notes with me, but I know horse is just off cue who's in it. I do know that past winter a few weeks ago and Derby winner Mystic Dan is running in it. I do know that the horse that I am betting that I think is going to romp in it is Mind Frame, and people have heard of Mind Frame. He's been a great horse throughout the last couple of years. Hit Show, a horse that ran in the Derby a couple years ago, is a really good quality horse that has been winning races and always in the top three, is running in it. First Mission is another quality horse running in it. The Closer, second in the Derby, or third in the Derby, should I say. Sierra Leone is running in it, who has won his last race, and I think he won, Travis, if I'm not mistaken, the Breeders' Cup.
Yeah, I will never bet on that horse because Dornick he bumps
may have
everybody.
Beat him. I don't know. Maybe Dornick beat him and came in second
in
the Breeders' Cup.
I think that's right.
And he got second yet again.
But
he is that bumps. Horse that gets second a lot, being a closer and all. But there are some really good horses in there. I have been waiting like crazy to bet First Mission because he looked so good on Derby Day when he romped in that race, and I've been waiting for him. No matter who he was going against, I was going to bet him.
Not a fan of Skippy Longstocking?
No, I've won on Skippy a few times, and he's always to be respected, but I don't see him getting anything better than fourth. He has been in the money a few times and should be respected, but I am going Mind Frame all the way in this one. But looking forward to it. I think Torpedo Anna is running also at Churchill. I think there's a really good card.
That day, I think that entire
Yeah, I think there's a great card yeah. of races running Saturday at Churchill. So if you got a chance
to
get out there.
Is it night racing?
No, it's not night racing.
Wasn't the Stephen Foster typically ran at night?
I thought it was.
Yeah.
I thought it was night racing, like the final night racing.
Mm-hmm.
And then I know that Thursday is the final, or tomorrow
the
is
having.
The
they
final.
Run it at night.
Tomorrow's the final, you know, the day that they have where everything's half price mm-hmm. and all that, Churchill.
Get
so do you all want to pick a horse that you all like?
Anybody but Sierra Leone for me. I don't like that horse at all.
Okay.
So, yeah.
You didn't like Blood Diamond, the movie?
That was a great movie, but I don't like how he bumps everybody when he's running down the stretch.
Yeah, the jockey does that.
Yeah, well, the horse is part of it. He's okay. Probably 90-something percent of it because he's a lot bigger than those jockeys.
Right.
So,
right. He is bigger than
like
jockeys.
The jockey could be like, hey, horse, bump into this other horse. And he could be like,
right.
No, I'm not
right.
Gonna.
Travis, you got one that you kind of might throw a little money on?
I'm taking Mystic Dan.
Okay, there you go. He's taking him to win two in a row. He does love Churchill. Mm-hmm. So does First Mission, though. And it's going to be hard to get any kind of value in this race. Those three horses are going to be bet down, so you just got to put the money where your mouth is.
There you go.
All right, boys.
Is that it on,
yeah,
on the horse racing?
That's it on the horse racing.
Well,
man.
I mean, you know, we.
It's a slow sports week.
It really is. We covered, I think, the things that we needed to cover this week. I knew it wouldn't be a real long show this week, but
trying to get them shorter.
But hopefully, from the hopefully people will enjoy the fact that we got to talk about the NBA stuff from a little bit different slant than just let's break down the game, you know, because I clearly had no interest in that. With all that being said, and since we are back down in the downstairs pub once again, I am going to call last call, and I'm going to start with tuna.
Yeah, this weekend, circle it in your calendars, big weekend. It's Friday night, slap boxing. This is the one that we've been talking about. It is on YouTube for free. Every person, if you have a television, if you have a computer, you have YouTube.
That's right.
So everybody can watch it, and it is free, so you don't have to pay anything.
Just type slap box into your thing? Is that what it's called? Power
and
slap, right.
I believe it's power slap 12. Let me look at the number here, and I could read the card to you, but none of y'all would know.
Is
anybody
the biscuit or whatever his name is? Is he fighting in this one?
No, he's not. Dumpling.
Yeah.
He is. Dumpling is fighting the Hawaiian Hitman.
Oh yes.
We have Wolverine, who was.
I've actually heard of the Hawaiian Hitman.
Yep. Well, there's two of the big Hawaiian guys, and yeah, they both look alike. I think they're related cousins. So, but it is a loaded up card, and it starts at 9 p.m. Eastern time on YouTube for free. So
awesome.
Yeah. If you ever wanted to watch a Russian farmer slap face to face with a Hawaiian guy, then this is for you.
This is your chance. Yeah. Freddie, last call.
I just wanted to say 4 years after they were in the Brazilian second division, they've really found their steam. That I'm also a big Botafogo fan in this club World Cup. They are big time underdogs, Brazilian style. You know, I love the Brazilians. Great tans, great skills, a little bit
great
of spice,
tans.
A little bit of extra pizzazz with the ball. And I'm also pulling for them. So the black and white, I'm going
They're
for
out
those
of Rio.
Guys. Yeah, out Rio of Rio, de Rio de Janeiro. Yes. So other than that, man, I thought the golf tournament was great. Travis, I was happy to see our boy win.
Keegan.
I thought that he is the Captain America. And I thought that him hitting that, coming back and chasing long hair, don't care. That's Tommy Fleetwood. And knowing that the team captain of the Ryder Cup is going against one of the better Ryder Cup players, even though he doesn't really do well in tournaments in America, I still am a Fleetwood fan. I like him. I would like to see him win sometime. I think he's earned the right and laid the work.
Well, he got totally hosed on that last putt.
He did. It hit something.
It hit a rock.
It totally hit something.
And it turned like 90 degrees to the left.
Well, I just don't know. How do you not see that? You can pick that up out of there, can't you?
With Tommy Fleetwood.
Him and his caddy missed the rock?
I want to make it known that Rory McIlroy jinxed Tommy Fleetwood.
Oh, okay. Bring that up then.
This is a very big thing. They were interviewing him before Tommy Fleetwood was finished playing.
Oh.
And Rory said, it's nice to see him finally get over the hump and win it. Because, you know, 42, he hasn't won
on the
PGA Tour at all.
Oh, like, no, right. That's what I was
like
just saying.
Like 42 top 10s or
that's
something.
That's what
like,
I was saying,
yeah.
That he deserves a chance to finally win
and
one.
And Rory congratulated him for getting over the hump before he was done playing.
Oh, boy.
So
right.
This is,
boy. That could be bad luck. Locker room material for the Ryder Cup there.
Just another thing for Tuna to pile on.
I'm just speaking facts. I'm not even taking shots at Rory. I'm just saying
what
he did.
Congrats to Keegan Bradley, who could be the captain and player in the Ryder Cup.
At
it's
this
a
point,
done deal.
I don't think there's...
Which would be uncharted waters. I'm sure it's happened before, especially in those olden
days.
It's
been like 63 years
through a wall for Keegan Bradley. I can't wait for this Ryder Cup. I think it's going to be a blast. Anyways, that's it for me.
All right. Well, you stole my.
I didn't know that. Thing.
Well, I don't care. We got to it.
However, we got to it. What a win! And you were on your way home when that happened, weren't you? Did you rewatch it?
I did.
Good.
I was actually listening to it live on PGA.
Oh, were you? There you go. Yeah, because it was cool. I mean, it wasn't cool to see Fleetwood miss, but.
But. Yeah, so relatively quick show tonight. A lot of things we got to, I think. Don't forget to check out Power Slap on YouTube. You said that's Saturday night?
Friday night. Saturday
Power Slap
is a UFC event. Dana White's not going to compete with himself for views.
Oh, well, yes. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So check out the soccer, check out the Power Slap.
And seriously, if you've never watched one of these Power Slap events, do it just because it really is kind of cool.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
You may not like it, but you will come away thinking you've just really seen something.
Yeah.
I can't wait till they have the 3D glasses and you can watch it and like the powder and the sweat comes out through the TV at you. You can watch it at the theater.
So check all that stuff out. We will be back here again next week to cover God knows what. We'll just have to see what happens here in the next several days. But as always, want to thank everybody for listening. If you enjoy the show, please tell a friend. For the big fella, the tuna, Country Matt Kemp, and the fabulous one, Freddie Benders, this is Travis Carter saying, so long, everybody.